Good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Khalil Ekolona. If you've been paying an even remote attention to the new headlines, you would know that there's a crisis in Afghanistan. Thousands of people are attempting to flee the country after the Taliban have taken control of the region. The United States' withdrawal has created a panicked rush for the U.S. and allied forces to evacuate their citizens and military personnel. But what about the thousands of Afghans who assisted the United States for the past 20 years? People who risked their lives to translate, guide, and to help out the United States in effort to bring stability to Afghanistan. In less than a week, that stability was no more. President Biden has decided to stick with the August 31st deadline to have all U.S. personnel out of the country. But where will that leave our Afghan allies? New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, along with State House Speaker Brian Egolf, recently sent a letter to President Biden highlighting New Mexico's long history of taking in refugees and displaced people. Then the letter, they informed the president that New Mexico is prepared and willing to welcome refugees from Afghanistan with open arms. How can New Mexico best ready itself to accept these refugees? How can New Mexico help make sure that people who want out of Afghanistan have the opportunity to leave? This is a life and death situation for thousands of people. The time to act is now. So let's talk about it. Email us at letstalk@kunm.org or call in live 505-277-5866. That's 505-277-5866. My first guest is Mohammed Ismail, a refugee case manager for Albuquerque Public Schools. Mohammed is from Afghanistan and was an interpreter for U.S. Armed Forces from 2010 to 2013. Good morning, Mohammed. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us about your time as an interpreter for U.S. Armed Forces?
I have served alongside U.S. Armed Forces as an interpreter for 3.5 years, from 2010 to 2013. And I received my SIV visa at the end of 2013, and I came to Albuquerque on December 31st, 2013. And I was honored, pride, and I felt the achievement that I have in my life to be here and to have that freedom.
Mm-hmm. To have that freedom. Now, when you were an interpreter, did leadership from the U.S. military, did they promise you assistance in getting a visa?
When I signed up to become an interpreter, I did not know about the SIV, the Special Immigrant Program. When I signed up, I found out after I signed up, and the qualification was 12 months. And after my first anniversary as an interpreter, I applied for the SIV. And it took me 2.5 years, the process to get my visa, vetting, background checks, polygraph, and all that.
2.5 years to get your visa. Now, as you waited for that 2.5 years, were you in any danger at all?
Every day. I was working in a detention facility in Bagram. Mm-hmm. It was U.S.-run facility, and we had Taliban prisoners there, detainees. And we are not talking about 1, 2, 3. We are talking thousands of Taliban, like 3,000 to 4,000 Taliban. When I was going inside the cells to interrogate, to translate for the U.S. Armed Forces, they would always call me infidel. They will always threaten me to kill me. They will always throw stuff at us as interpreter. They would always throw stuff at us, like they would always threaten to be that we will cut your head off, your families, your entire relative, your entire community. You will not be safe in Afghanistan. Once we get out, we will kill you indefinitely.
Now, do you currently have family in Afghanistan now?
I do have family member. My immediate family, my parents and siblings are luckily here because somehow they flee the country after my resettlement in U.S. But now my aunt, my cousin, my uncle, they're all back home in Afghanistan and they are under self-house arrest with limited resources and supplies because they fear for their life. And when we talk, you can hear that hopelessness, fear of losing their life and their loved ones, and they're uncertain about their future.
How difficult is it to get into contact and communicate with your family members in Afghanistan?
it is very hard because they're rationing electricity and it's not 24/7, and we don't have like subscription like here to T-Mobile, AT&T, or other. So you have to pay for what you use, and you have to use scratch cards like old days. And whenever we get a chance, we talk to each other and we say goodbye like it's our last, because we cannot predict the future. And it's so dire situation that they're looking at me and asking me for help, but I'm hopeless. I can't do much.
Yeah. Have you spoken to any leaders here in New Mexico about helping your family?
I am in contact, yes. I'm in contact with the congressional delegation, the senator's office, Senator Ben Lujan, and Senator Heinrich's office, but I have sent them a list of people who are my immediate family, and I have not got any updates. So they have sent it to the State Department, and we are still waiting for a response.
There's no response at all from the congressional delegation in this emergency situation. How does that make you feel?
It feels like we are abandoned. There is no one listening to us. We served the country when they needed us, and now when we need the government, when we need the U.S. to support us, our families, there is no one stepping up, and the deadline is looming as well. So what happens after the deadline? So I'm very, very afraid and terrified of what happens after the evacuation of the U.S. forces from Afghanistan.
Now, President Biden says that he's going to stick with this August 31st deadline date, but there are contingency plans. I know that the allied forces of NATO are asking the president to extend that deadline date. Do you agree with the allied forces and that you feel that this date should be extended?
I plead to Biden administration and the Congress and that to please extend the deadline and evacuate our family at least to a safer place. Don't bring them to the United States directly. I know vetting, background checks, and all that, biometrics will take time. I completely understand. I was an interpreter. It took me 2.5 years. Take them to a safer country. Take them to a third country before you bring them here. Vet them, background check them, and then bring them to here. And also, I ask my congressional delegation and senator's office to please reach out to Biden administration and plea for extension of the deadline. It's really, really important. We're talking about lives here.
Mm-hmm. Thousands of lives. We're going to go to a call now. We've got Dick calling from Albuquerque. Dick, welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico.
Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. What do you have to share with us?
Yes, I was calling, this week the events have been changing pretty rapidly. And I saw, to follow on to your previous caller, that Senator Heinrich had posted online, welcome to New Mexico to some potential refugees who might be arriving at either border camps or facilities that are at military bases here in southern New Mexico. And when I saw that, it motivated me to reach out to a group of veterans that I do community support with here and see if there's any way that we could potentially try and be a welcoming kind of force, if you will, for the Afghan refugees that arrive in New Mexico. Hopefully these war veterans that have been there to Afghanistan and understand the sacrifice of these folks can step up and say, welcome to America, and hopefully kind of be part of their successful journey into our culture.
Mm-hmm. Are you a veteran yourself, Dick?
Yes, I am. Yep, I served in Afghanistan back in 2010.
Can you tell me, how do you feel watching this situation unfold over the past few weeks? What type of feelings have that brought up in you?
Personally, having been there, I didn't really think anything different would happen. So I've always just been waiting for this week to come. And it's just been a realization of some of the concerns I think a lot of us have had for a long time. But I'm glad that we're finally crossing this bridge, even as difficult as it might be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for giving us a call and thank you for your service. I'm going back to Muhammad right now. Muhammad, I have a question for you about, Dick talked about welcoming people into New Mexico, and you've been here for quite a while. Do you feel that New Mexico is a good place for refugees? Can you describe the process of coming here and adapting to life in the land of enchantment?
New Mexico is a place of freedom. And New Mexico is welcoming refugees. And we should get this message to the Biden administration that we are welcoming refugees here, and it's a place that people can strive and achieve. My journey is one of the thousands of journeys that have succeeded in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And we are accepting new refugees. So I plead to Biden administration, New Mexico is open for refugees. Please extend your deadline. Please vet more people. Please evacuate all your allies, especially my family, because I had such a close contact with Taliban. And I was feet away from them, talking to them. And they know my face. They know my family. They know my relatives. So please, New Mexico is open. Why we should not bring more refugees? Why we should not give them a second life to live? A chance for freedom, a chance to breathe in peace, in security, and in stability.
Yeah, something that every human deserves. Joining me now is Mahbooba Pana. She is a case manager at the Asian Family Center who came to the U.S. from Afghanistan 20 years ago. Recently, she organized a rally in Albuquerque's Civic Plaza to support the people of Afghanistan. Welcome, Mahbooba. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So do you have any family members in Afghanistan who are attempting to leave? Can you tell us, if so, can you tell us what their situation was like and when you last spoke to them?
I just spoke to them 20 minutes ago. Hmm. My family is still in Afghanistan. My immediate family left Afghanistan about 2 years ago. They are in second country trying to go to a third country, but my other relatives are still in Kabul, and they have been trying to attempt to airport, but there is no luck for them to get close to the gate. They even have a P2 approval, but they couldn't get in. It's the chaos is terrible. There's too much rush. They cannot get close to the gate. They cannot get close to the American soldiers to show their documents. And I just heard that there was a big explosion at Ivy Gate, at airport, where my family was yesterday. But they were trying to go again today. But we had some feelings that you should stay home and you should not go to airport right now. And then this explosion just happened a few minutes ago.
Wow. We'll look directly into that, reports of that explosion. Now, like I asked Mohammed, how do you feel about this, the extension, the potential extension of this August 31st deadline date that President Biden has set? Mahbooba, are you still with us?
Yes. I mean, the deadline, that's what my family is struggling. They know the deadline is they only have 4 days. And they are trying to try their luck to get to airport, to get to into the gates and leave the country because their lives are in straight danger. And if the Taliban catches them, they will kill them, the whole family, because they are the minority race and because they are women's rights activists. My aunt is a founder of a schoolgirl in Puluhumri, and her life is in straight danger. I mean, yeah, I'm very, very nervous right now. I'm worried about my family. And I'm sorry if I get lost in vocabulary.
No. Please don't apologize. This is anybody would understand where you're coming from. I appreciate your honesty and you sharing your story with us. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We are on the line with Mahbooba Pana and Mohammed Ismail, two people from Afghanistan who currently have families in this very perilous situation across the world. I'm going to open it up to a listener question. I want to ask, how important is it to you that New Mexico helps to harbor refugee families in this crisis? You can email us at letstalk@kunm.org or call in live. That's 505-277-5866, 505-277-5866. We are going to take a step away for some messages briefly, but we are definitely coming back. This is a very important show. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Khalil A. Colonna. We are talking about the refugee crisis in Afghanistan. We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 505-277-5866. We'll be back in a moment.
Support provided by Jen Wilson, home team of RE/MAX Select. As a realtor for 26 years, Jen believes homeownership can help create independence and wealth for women's futures. Information for prospective home buyers and sellers at nmhouse.com. Support comes from the Manzano Mountain Art Council, presenting the Mountain Air Sunflower Festival, August 28th, 10 to 4. Handmade arts and crafts, live music, kids' activities, and more. Info at manzanomountainartcouncil.org.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, our award-winning series from 2020, when I travel to the U.S.-Mexico border, starting in El Paso and then Ciudad Juarez for part one of The Moving Border.
CBP recibe a 10 personas hoy ingresando por la tarde. Nos quedamos en el número 19,428.
That's next time on Latino USA.
That's Latino USA, Monday mornings at 8 a.m. on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Kaliole Colonna. I am talking with Mohammed Ismail and Mahbuba Panah. We are discussing the refugee crisis in Afghanistan. If you have a comment, give us a call, 505-277-5866, and tell us all about it. Now, I was talking with Mahbuba recently. Mahbuba, let me ask you, have you spoken to any of our political leaders here in New Mexico? And if you have, what have they said to you?
Yes, I'm in contact with Martin Hendricks' office. And I mean, the office people, they are amazing. They are in contact with me. They try to help my family and my community. I've been filling out the spreadsheet that was sent from the senator's office. I'm helping the community day and night to fill out that spreadsheet for P2 visa and SIV visa. I'm glad that these people are here to support me, but we need this deadline to be extended. 4 days, nothing. I mean, my people are dying at airport. They are killing them. Right now, I don't know how many people was killed in that explosion. And I'm just glad that my family was not there, but still my people was there. And there are children, they are women at the airport trying to get the attention and pass the gate.
Now, women and girls faced an increased danger with the Taliban in control. What are your most pressing concerns?
I'm concerned about everyone. Women, girls, men, children, everyone. They should live. They don't deserve to live in that situation. They don't deserve to live under complete terror. I experienced Taliban 22 years ago, and I know how it feels to live in that terror, especially if you are the minority and if you are a woman. It's terrible. It's impossible to live in that situation.
Now, when you spoke to your family members, did they mention anything about assistance from American soldiers?
No, it's very hard to get their attention. Just imagine the American soldiers, there is four of them on the on a wall or on the other side of a gate. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of people trying to get their attention. They have paperwork, they have passports, and they are trying to get attention of the American soldiers. And I cannot imagine how those soldiers feel in that complete terror. I mean, it's impossible to get their attention. And I don't know what those soldiers are going through. If the people have American passport or foreign passport, they can get their attention and probably they can pass the gate. But again, there is thousands of people with documents that there is no luck for them. They have no chance to get their attention.
Hmm. Now, you work with the Asian Family Center here in Albuquerque. How do organizations like yours, the Asian Family Center and others, how do they really help refugees and displaced people?
I mean, in the past few days, I'm not aware of, I know that Afghan people, they came to New Mexico. I'm not in contact with them. I have no information about them because I'm just focusing about my family and filling out this spreadsheet for my community here, trying to bring their family members from Afghanistan. But I'm pretty sure that Asian Family Center and all these other organizations, we have open arm to accept refugees and provide services for them. As long as we have enough resources and enough funding, and we know that we can find a way to support these refugees, we have open arm, especially me. I have open arm to help Afghan refugees day and night.
Mm-hmm. and not resting. Now, we have a comment from Jenny from Peralta. She thinks we should extend the evacuation deadline, and she wants to know how to help. How can she host a family? Can she volunteer? How can she get involved? Mabuba or Muhammad, do you have recommendations for Jenny or anyone else listening who would like to help? Do you have recommendations of where they should go?
This is Mohammed. We do have set up an email address, which is usahealthafg@gmail.com. They can support us with sorting documents, filing, and doing paperwork, and giving time to reach out to people, reach out to senators' office, congressional delegations' office, and be a communication person for us. And we would really appreciate that help. And it's again usahealthafg@gmail.com. And we will really, really appreciate your help, and we will be forever grateful for your support.
So it's one more time, usahelpafg@gmail.com.
That's correct.
All right. All right. Now you've heard us, New Mexico. That is the place to go to one. That's one method of offering assistance. Mabuba, do you have any advice for assistance for Jenny and others like her?
Please listen to Muhammad. I know he's been working so hard. Just go to that website, email, and reach out to Biden administration and ask for extension for the deadline.
That is incredibly important. Now, have either of you reached out to Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham? She did mention that New Mexico is a place for refugees, families, and displaced people. In the letter, she said that we would welcome everyone with open arms. Have you all reached out to her, asking her that she beg, plead, ask, pressure President Biden to extend the August 31st deadline?
We have been so busy focusing on our families. We have been so busy on creating the list I have created with other family members who are here, who have U.S. ties here. They will not be a burden on the U.S. state or government. We have created a list of 107 people, and we have given to our congressional delegation and senator's office. But unfortunately, due to lack of time and resources and not having enough personnel, it's just me and my cousin's wife, Dr. Sharmeen Daras, is helping me. So we did not have that resource or that time or that person to reach out to the office yet. But definitely we will reach out to the office once we get help to the governor's office to request and plead the Biden administration or to push pressure to please extend the deadline and start expediting the process of vetting and background check or getting people out. Get people out to that third country, please. Please give them a safety. Please, I plead you, but the Biden administration and the U.S. Senate, to please help us. We are in dire need. Please, please, please help us.
We have an email in from Melanie. She emailed to say she would like to say thank you to Ms. Pana and Mr. Ismail for organizing the rally on Civic Plaza last week. It was very important to show up and to support the Afghan population in Albuquerque. She eagerly awaits future rallies and or welcoming parties. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. We are talking about the crisis situation in Afghanistan and how New Mexico can help. Question for the listeners. Do you trust that the United States will keep its promise to thousands of Afghans who helped our military for the past 20 years? Why or why not? You can call 277-5866. That's 505-277-5866 or email letstalk@kunm.org and you can tell us your thoughts. I'm on the line with Mabuba Pana and Mohammed Ismail. We are talking about their situations, their very personal situations as they attempt to save and help out their family members. Now, Mabuba, very, very quickly, I've got we've got a little bit of time. Do you feel that New Mexico is well established with networks to help the people who come here? Do you feel that we have good organizations and programs that help refugees here?
I believe that is correct. I think we have amazing organization and we have amazing community that can help refugees. Yes, I believe that. And I want to appreciate that Martin Heinrich's office that for their help and their support. They are trying to help me with hundreds of my community members to fill out that spreadsheet and apply for P2 and SIV visa. I believe New Mexico is ready to accept refugees, and we have enough people to support these refugees.
Okay. I'm going to bring in another guest to the show, Brandon Baca. He works with Albuquerque Public Schools in the Office of Equity and Engagement. He is the program manager for refugees. Thank you. Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us today, Brandon.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you tell me about how your department helps refugee students and their families?
Sure. So I work with an amazing team of refugee case managers. All of them are refugees themselves and speak multiple languages. And so myself and the case managers, we work with the entire district. So we provide supports to families, students, and schools throughout the district. Since our team is able to speak multiple languages, we're able to directly communicate with families and really cultural experts as well who can intervene and support families. In addition to that, we have four other newcomer specialists who also speak multiple languages and work with inside some of our schools where we have very large populations of refugee students. So they work with students inside the classroom and also work with parents quite a bit. And we also have a small newcomer program at one of our elementary schools where we provide a lot of wraparound services and additional supports, both academic, emotional, and other at that elementary school.
Now, what are some of the biggest roadblocks that you all face in helping refugee families and students?
There's numerous challenges in providing the best services, but some of the big challenges are when students arrive. One of the biggest priorities is learning English, right? So, and with APS, you know, we have English language services, but it becomes particularly complex when students arrive because they've had interrupted formal education. So we can look at the current situation in Afghanistan as an interruption in education. You know, schools are not operating right now. And this happens all over the place in places of conflict. And students can miss years of schooling before they get back into school. So when they arrive in Albuquerque, sometimes we have a lot of catching up to do on top of learning the language. But you'd be amazed at how resilient the kids are and how fast they pick up another language and really delve into their schooling and meet friends and adapt really quickly. But we really have to do our best to make sure that all supports are on board in order to really get them up to speed.
Now, does APS have plans to increase language access for students and families?
We do have a translation and interpretation department where we provide interpretation and translation in, 100 or so languages, probably closer to 200 languages. So we have those services, and this program, the Refugee and Newcomer Supports Program, is a relatively new program. We started about 3 years ago now, and this is providing additional language access. So we have, you know, people on staff who speak the languages most commonly spoken by refugee families, including Dari, Farsi, and Pashto, which are the primary languages from Afghanistan. So with those services, we've really expanded, and we continue to expand. We've actually been working with our video team at APS to produce videos in different languages, helping families to navigate different resources. And this has been a particularly helpful strategy for us, because oftentimes it's the best way that families can access that information.
Mm-hmm. I've got a comment from Stephen Helgeson in New Mexico. He says, New Mexico should indeed welcome Afghan refugees to the state, but with some qualifications. First, that the welcome should be either former interpreters for the U.S. military or former contractors to the Department of Defense. The second is that every refugee must be sponsored by either a local family or a local nonprofit. That sponsorship would be whereby an individual or organization would put up a board equivalent, a bond equivalent for the refugees for the first 2 years of expected costs of housing, food, clothing, services, etc. The third would be that no refugee jumps in line ahead of New Mexico's already needy impoverished population for assistance and must submit to the same requirements to get that assistance. How does that, Mabuba, how does that comment strike you?
I'm not sure what to say, but I'm glad. I mean, I'm pretty sure that if there is a program that we can sponsor our families, not only immediate family, but our families and our people to come here, I mean, we will find a way to support them if, you know, if there is no other resources to help them, to sponsor them. But I'm pretty sure that we can, at least we can support our families, we can sponsor them to come here and help them to navigate the system here and help them to stand on their feet if there is no other resources. We're just trying to grab anything to help our people, our families.
Mohammed, how does that strike you?
Oh, thank you for bringing this up. So my entire family, the list we provided, they all have been associated with the U.S. as a vendor, contractor, and all that. So they have served the U.S. government in some way, somehow. And also in the United States, like in Albuquerque, our community, which is the minority community from Afghanistan, Hazara Shia Ismaili, we have already created this resettlement program that we will help anybody who will come to the United States will receive resettlement program, and they all have U.S. ties. There's no one on the list that we provided that does not have a U.S. family member, and they are well established in Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. So they will not be a burden on the state or seeking assistance from the Human Service Department. And mm-hmm. They bring their own language skills. They bring their own experiences. They are willing to work if there is work. They are well qualified to be employed anywhere in any business, any work, any organization. So they all have their skills, and we already prepared the resettlement process. So there will not be any need for the families that we have provided the list to seek for assistance. And they are in dire need of freedom, safety. They are not in need because we have already planned for their resettlement and having them a better life.
Mm-hmm. Our staff, our excellent news staff here pointed out, they pointed out that this model, this suggestion that came from Stefan is the Canadian model. And while it worked, it had limited effect and it only helped about 40,000 people. I've got a quick phone call. We've got Edward from Senator Martin Heinrich's office on the line. Edward, thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me this morning. This is such an important issue. I just want to say that the congressional delegation is handling several hundred cases right now of families with ties here in New Mexico, in Afghanistan. I'm sitting in front of a spreadsheet right now of well over 200 cases that our office alone is working on, including working with Mahbuba, who has been phenomenal in connecting people to our office. The best way to, and we've gotten dozens of families out. This is all, we have a full-time team that this is all we're doing day and night right now. If people would like support in trying to get family out of Afghanistan, particularly right now, we're looking at, you know, U.S. citizens, legal permanent residents, folks who are in grave danger because they have helped the U.S. government and qualified for the Special Immigrant Visa Program, you know, P1, P2. The address is afg-evac, E-V-A-C, at heinrich.senate.gov. We are doing everything we can in communicating with the State Department. We're limited by, you know, things are, it's an evolving situation on the ground. It's a really difficult situation on the ground, and we're limited by what the State Department responds to us. But again, we're doing everything we can to communicate the needs of these families to the State Department.
Is the State Department responding to you all rather quickly, or is it taking time?
I'll just say that, folks are watching the news coverage on the ground, and that what's happening on the ground is rolling up, throughout the system, and it is difficult and chaotic at best, but we are getting kind of intermittent responses from the State Department. And like I said, our office has successfully supported several dozen folks getting out, and we're working through this list of hundreds more.
Okay, that email is afg-evac, E-V-A-C, at heinrich.senate.gov. We're going to step away for a quick moment. You're listening to Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM. I'm Khalil Colonna. We're discussing the refugee crisis in Afghanistan, and we want to hear your thoughts. Call us at 505-277-5866. We'll be right back.
Many individuals, organizations, and grassroots groups across the country have stepped up to help give back to others as tribes have been hit hard by COVID-19. Giving and helping those in need are key values among many Native nations. We'll talk with some Native community members who've been instrumental in giving during the pandemic on the next Native America Calling.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Did you know KUNM accepts unwanted vehicles, like that car you've had parked in your driveway and don't need anymore? Maybe it's time to let it go. If you're ready, give us a call today. We'll have it picked up for free, handle all the paperwork, and you'll get a tax deduction. It's easy, and it really helps support KUNM. Get started by calling 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Khalil Colonna. We are talking about the refugee crisis in Afghanistan. If you have a comment, give us a call at 277-5866. That's 505-277-5866. Got a question for you listeners that you can call in or write to us about. Do you work with an organization that helps refugees? Tell us about your experiences. Give us a call. Again, 505-277-5866 or email us at letstalk@kunm.org. Allow me to introduce my next guest. She is Beatrice Elena Valencia. She is with the Immigrant and She is the Immigrant and Refugee Liaison for the City of Albuquerque's Office of Equity and Inclusion. Thank you for joining us, Beatrice.
Thank you for inviting me, Mr. Colonna. It's a pleasure for me to be here and talk about this topic.
We're grateful to have you with us. Now, can you tell us about your department, how your department assists refugee families in Albuquerque?
Well, originally this office was created in the year of 2016 as a way to help to improve the lives of immigrant and resettled refugees who live in Albuquerque. Because believe it or not, we have 60,000 plus immigrants in the city. That's basically more than 10% of the population. And then as a result, there is a great need to cover needs like language access, another type of things that are related with security, transportation, that need some type of effort and coordination. So the office helps in collaboration with many organizations and partnerships. So, and we also coordinate things related with language access inside the city of Albuquerque. At this moment in time, because of the Afghan crisis, we are helping to be able to collaborate with other nonprofits to see first how to listen, what are their needs, what are their wants, and how we also can help redirect some type of help and supports. Many of our refugee population that we have in the city speaks several languages, and that's one of the things that over time we are able to advocate in the sense of finding ways to recognize what are the things that can be a barrier for them to get any type of services. And at this point in time, we have some partnerships, for example, with Family Lutheran Services, Catholic Charities, and many other organizations that are on the ground working directly with immigrant and refugee communities.
Okay, I'm going to go to a call. Thank you for that. We're going to go to a call. We're going to go to Roger from Albuquerque. Roger, welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you very much, and I really appreciate what your guests have said about how they're going to be working with their family members and others in Albuquerque who have family anchors already here. wonderful work. It's going to take many points of light to help everyone that's coming. And I think that one of the pieces that needs to be added to the conversation is the work of the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. LIRS.org is the link to look at. This is the organization that will be formally receiving, I think, the first 250 or so refugees and help provide services which are paid for by the federal government and link in with local parties. I also know that Indivisible Knob Hill, you could write them at indivisiblenobhill@gmail.com, is partnering with Lutheran Family Services to help, and they're receiving some donations. So just wanted to get that into the mix. They're the LIRS, Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services.org, will be a key player in this, and perhaps another program you might have them on to help with this. That's all I have. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Roger. Thank you for that information. Hopefully listeners will reach out. There's another place you can reach out to. We have Victoria from Santa Fe. She says she would like to ask listeners to get the White House number to call the extended deadline. It is 202-456-1111. Again, call the White House, 202-456-1111. Now, Beatrice, are organizations like the Lutheran Refugee Services, are they organizations that you all work with, the city of Albuquerque works with in helping out refugee families?
Yes, like I was mentioning, yes, there are several organizations that the one who is in charge, like the gentleman was mentioning about resettling, specifically refugee families in Albuquerque, is Family Lutheran Services. They are the organization who receive federal funding to help for the resettlement of refugees in the city of Albuquerque. Even in the state, they also do in other parts of the state or New Mexico. Well, but there are other organizations that also help in different capacity, providing other type of services. Like I hear in the call, like Brandon Baca in the school district with Albuquerque Public Schools, like Catholic Charities, that they have caseworkers, interpreters, and English classes, citizenship classes, and other type of support for our refugee population. Like New Mexico Family Asian Center, I also heard another of the speakers, that also collaborate and works directly with our refugee communities to be able to get support. Mm-hmm. And don't forget about other organizations that are also on the ground that are directly Afghans here locally, the Afghan Society of New Mexico, the Islamic Center of New Mexico. And just coming to that point, for example, tomorrow afternoon, Friday, 27th at 2:15 to 4 p.m., there is an event that is going to happen at the Islamic Center of New Mexico that is a gathering, a gathering to listen to the needs of our Afghan community here in Albuquerque. And it's going to be a beautiful event. There is going to be a moment of healing and prayer. Then after that, there are going to be some speakers from the Afghan community. It's possible some political leaders present or the representatives. And at the same time, we're going to have a brainstorming session where we're going to ask the people in Dari, in Farsi, and in English, what are their needs and how we can participate and guide them and connect them with organizations who can be able to help them and support them in the short and in the long term. So it's very important your participation could be virtual or in person. And this is a very nice space to be able to have that those conversations and be able to be supportive.
Okay, thank you for that. Can you once again give the information about the event and what time and where it's happening?
Yes, the event is going to happen. It's called the Gathering to Sympathize and Support the Afghan Community. It's going to happen in the Islamic Center of New Mexico. That is going to be 1100 Yale Street. It's in That's the address. You can look into the website. Just a second. The exact address is 1100 Yale Boulevard Southeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico. And there is going to be a hybrid event, so you can attend online or in person. The Zoom meeting is going to be in a flyer that, if you allow me, Mr. Colonna, I can send it to you and you can share it with your with the people who are listening, and in that way they could access. But this is a really nice space to be able to help and listen to the Afghan community. You're going to attend in person, yes?
Yes, we will definitely have that up on our website at KUNM.org, and the date is tomorrow, correct?
Yes, 2:15 to 4 p.m.
2:15 to 4 p.m. There it is. We're going to go to a call right now. We've got Enrique from Albuquerque. Enrique, thank you for calling Let's Talk New Mexico.
Yes, I think it's really important that we recognize that the situation as it is now was in large part created by the new United States, and the United States should really take some responsibility and support as many Afghans as we can. We caused this problem. We need to step up, support our Afghan community. And that's really all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I know a lot of people feel that way. Mohammed, how do you feel about that comment?
There has been a mismanagement, misplanning, and this evacuation was not planned, and this caused the chaos, definitely. So we should extend the deadline so we can give time to our, to other people who are associated with the U.S. government to be evacuated. And the Biden administration should look into this and see what went wrong and work on it to fix the process of how to evacuate people safely and in a timely manner before the evacuation ends. And they should extend the time, the deadline. So I urge all New Mexicans to please call the Biden administration, the number that they just provided, and show support to us and our family and the entire community and entire people who deserve freedom and who deserve and has worked with the government to be evacuated.
Yes, thank you. We have another call. We've got Saraya from Albuquerque. Saraya, thank you for calling. Good day. Thank you for calling Let's Talk New Mexico.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for having this program, and I really appreciate everyone who's there. I was just calling to offer my gratitude for everyone who's been helping. I have a friend with a niece and nephew who are in Kabul in the airport. We've been trying to get them out for days. The niece is a teenage girl. Her brother says that the guards beat them, so he runs away, and then he comes back trying to get back into the airport, so they've gotten separated. Their phone has died, so we've been calling them daily. And then now the phone's dead and there's no way to charge it. It just sounds like total chaos. The airport is partly outdoors and there's just these huge crowds. But I'm really grateful to Senator Heinrich's staff person who's been working with us. His name is Miguel, and he worked Saturday and Sunday, and he's worked evenings and mornings, and he's shown a lot of compassion to us every time we call, trying to figure out how to get them out and telling us the correct paperwork. And just really appreciate everyone locally who's been helping on this, and the incredible work of the Afghan community doing interpretations and paperwork. And a lot of these groups have been named on your show today. And I just wanted to call to thank them and to thank Miguel specifically for working totally outside of his hours to try to help us, and to ask for prayers that we get her niece and nephew out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your efforts. And definitely thank you to Miguel for this. This is very difficult to listen to, all of our listeners. This is a very difficult situation. This is currently going on right now. Thousands of people's lives are in danger. What is the United States going to do to help out these people, particularly and specifically the people who helped out the United States for the past 20 years? We have a comment from a listener from Danielle Parker. She says she is the project coordinator for the Refugee and Immigrant Wellbeing Project. They offer 2-semester course at the University of New Mexico where they train undergraduates and graduate graduate students to work directly with refugee families here in Albuquerque to engage in mutual learning and advocacy. The students are trained to help families access resources and navigate various systems like healthcare or education. We've been doing this since 2006, she says, and the program for this year just started now with the academic season open. Their students will train for 3 months, August through October, and will be paired with families in November of 2021 and will work with them until May of 2022. They have weekly learning circles where they do cultural exchange between UNM students and refugee families, and they work one-on-one with families or anything that they need or want. They need volunteers for their LCs and their families. So email her at daparker1@unm.edu. Again, D.A. Parker, the number one, at unm.edu. If anyone is interested, they work directly with Afghan families. We are definitely going to have this on our post at kunm.org. Again, go to kunm.org to be of assistance. Now, I just want to ask this question to everyone, any one of our panelists who would like to answer, Mohammed, Mabuba, Brandon, or Beatrice, what else can people who are listening right now do to help?
Outreach. Reach out to our Congress delegation, provide support, write letters of support, reach out to our Congress, reach out to our senators, provide support. I know they are also short of staff. They are in need of support. See if you can somehow, some way can support. Reach out to Biden administration, please, for the extension of the deadline, and also advocate for getting the people to a safe place, a third country, before bringing to the United States, and give them a safety, give them a second chance to leave. And also, please email ahelpafg@gmail.com, and also support us in reaching out to the governor's office, doing paperwork if needed, and organizing data and all that. And I plead and ask everyone's support to please help us in this dire situation. We will strive together, and our diversity makes our community stronger.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. A quick call from Michelle with the city of Albuquerque. Michelle, thank you very much. We've got about 1 minute left. What's your comment?
We need landlords. Landlords who are willing to rent to refugees and others in need. And if you find yourself being discriminated against and a landlord is refusing to rent because of your nationality, that's against the law. We want you to report that to the City of Albuquerque Office of Civil Rights. But most important is getting landlords willing to rent to the families who are moving to Albuquerque and choosing to call us home. That's how we can make them feel very welcome in our city. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. You heard that, New Mexico, and you heard that, Albuquerque. The city of New Mexico needs landlords to help house refugees. Let's go out there and make it happen. That is about all the time we have for today. I'm sure that this topic will come up again here on Let's Talk New Mexico. Thank you to everyone who called in to share their thoughts. Thanks so much to our guests, Mohammed Ismail, Mabuba Pana, Brandon Baca, and Beatrice Elena Valencia. We really appreciate all that you're doing, and the best of luck to you and your families. If you've missed a part of the show, you could stream it online or subscribe to our podcast. Find it wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Join us next week for Let's Talk New Mexico at the same time and the same place. Our engineer is Marino Spencer. Robert Maldonado live tweeted. Yasmin Call screened your calls. Megan Kamrick produced the show, and Ty Bannerman produced the show at home. He is the executive producer. I hope you feel better, Ty. Just a quick note, this is my last appearance on KUNM, as I'm soon to start a new position with WPLN in Nashville. I want to thank everyone here at KUNM for the two very important and meaningful years. I also want to thank our listeners for everything. For the last time at KUNM, I'm Khalil Ekolona. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9. Have a good day.